Those mandatory arbitration clauses in credit card agreements may be on their way out. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. Yesterday, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau adopted a rule that allows consumers to sue financial institutions in class action lawsuits. Currently, many banks and other financial firms have clauses in their contracts that force customers into a process called arbitration. Marketplace's Marielle Segura is here with us live. Marielle, to start, what are these mandatory arbitration clauses?
They're fine print in company contracts, and they say basically if a customer has a dispute over, let's say, a fee charged by a bank, that person has to resolve things with the bank through arbitration. And arbitration is a pretty secretive process. It doesn't take place in a court. It's dispute resolution overseen by a private individual, an arbitrator.
And these clauses often ban class action lawsuits?
Right. And that means the customer who's disputing that charge can't join together with other customers doing the same thing and take the case to court together. So most people don't bother ever pursuing these disputes.
What does the new rule do?
It says financial firms can no longer force customers into arbitration. They can include arbitration as an option in contracts, but they can't deny consumers the right to be part of a class action lawsuit. The rule only applies to financial firms like banks, credit card companies, and student loan firms. But there are other industries that use these clauses. You'll see them in healthcare, often at nursing homes, also at cell phone companies, for instance.
And not everyone's in favor of these rules, right?
Right. Republicans have spoken out against them. They say the CFPB is overstepping. The Chamber of Commerce also said the agency had, quote, gone rogue. Ramona Lampley, a law professor at St. Mary's University, opposes the rule, and she says class action lawsuits won't solve all consumer disputes.
The vast majority of class actions are withdrawn without resolving in any relief for the class members, and they almost never go to trial.
The CFPB director, Richard Cordray, said class action lawsuits can help consumers who don't have the means to go it alone against a big company, and that these group lawsuits can deter companies from certain business practices. The rule would go into effect next year unless Congress decides to overturn it, and it would have to do that within 60 days.
Marielle, thanks. It's been almost 10 years since the start of the financial crisis that nearly tanked the global economy. And since then, there have been relatively few prosecutions of those responsible for causing it. Big banks deemed too big to fail instead got a taxpayer bailout. How did this happen? Jesse Eisinger is an investigative reporter with ProPublica and has a new book out with the subtitle Why the Justice Department Fails to Prosecute Executives. Jesse, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I can't actually say the full title of your book on the air, so we're going to call it the Chicken Excrement Club, but of course you use a more colorful word. That title comes from none other than James Comey, the former FBI director fired by President Trump. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. Well, before he was FBI director, he was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. And he gathered all the young prosecutors together when he came into his job in 2002. And these guys are the best of the best. They're hot shots. They've gone to the best schools. And so he asked them, how many of you guys have never lost a trial? And a bunch of hands shoot up because they're the best of the best. And he says, so me and my buddies have a name for you. You guys are the Chickens Expletive Club. And he was trying to say being a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor, is not about trying to win at all costs. You need to be ambitious and take on righteous cases and do justice. We want the government to take on the powerful when they need to and check wrongdoers at every level of society. And my argument in the book is that the Department of Justice has lost the will and ability to prosecute top corporate executives now.
And you start with the story of Enron, the energy trading company that filed for bankruptcy, what, 16 years ago now, after a massive accounting fraud. How did the Enron case change the Justice Department's approach to future cases?
there was this view that these guys had been cowboys, too aggressive, overly charging executives. And they also prosecuted the auditing firm that enabled the Enron fraud, Arthur Andersen. Arthur Andersen ends up being put out of business. There's this huge backlash against putting companies out of business and having these collateral consequences of putting tens of thousands of workers on the street. And because of that, the Department of Justice turns away from wanting to indict corporations. There's not a policy in place, but they essentially take it off the table. And instead, they turn to settlements rather than indictments.
And you argue that it's important not only to go after corporations, but to prosecute individuals, the bankers and executives at these firms. Of course, the financial crisis did lead to major regulatory reform, like the Dodd-Frank Act. Is that not enough?
I think it's unfair and undermines the sense of justice in this country. I think that when we try to reform the system politically and do regulatory reform, if we are letting the criminals get away with it, people don't think that the reforms are good anyway. They think that the government is in the hand of the pocket of companies.
Jesse Eisinger is author of The Chicken Bleep Club, Why the Justice Department Fails to Prosecute Executives. Jesse, thank you.
Thank you.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.